The Future of the Grange. Founded after the Civil War as the National Grange of the Order of the Patrons of Husbandry, the Grange has a long and storied history in rural America, and especially in Maine. At one time, there were 600 granges in Maine with 50,000 members. Granges helped farmers modernize and pool their resources. They also served as community centers in rural areas. Over the years, many Maine grange halls have shut their doors and disbanded, but others have found a way to stay relevant and serve their communities. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we'll find out what it means to be a Granger today and how granges are redefining and revitalizing their membership. Are you a member of your local grange? Are you curious about what goes on behind grange hall doors? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Drive through any rural town in Maine, and you will see the distinctively stark and beautiful architecture of the local grange hall. These granges often served as hubs for farmers and rural communities in the past. Today, we'll learn how some granges have come and gone over the years and how some are springing back to life and serving new purposes. Joining me in the studio, Victoria Huff. She is treasurer of the Maine State Grange and a past state master. She's a lifelong Granger and currently master and president of Hollis Grange. Also here, Walter Boomsma. He is the author of Exploring Traditions, a book about the Grange way of life, and he's communications director of the Maine State Grange. He's also program director of the Valley Grange in Guilford. As always, we want to hear from you. Does your local grange still play a role in your community? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Happy Friday to both of you. Thank you so much for being here. I wanted to start with kind of a personal question, if that's okay, and ask how each of you became involved in the Grange. Vicki, you first. You are a lifelong Granger. What does that mean? Did your kids take you to Grange functions when you were a kid?
Well, my parents took me to Grange functions as a kid. The biggest thing about Grange is you can become a full Grange member at age 13 and a half. So I was excited because during that time, I was waiting outside and was not allowed in and couldn't wait to find out what was going on inside because I could hear music. I could hear people walking around, people talking, but I did not know what those conversations were about. So for me, it was, I can't wait to get there. And at age 15 is when I joined Hollis Grange and have been an active member pretty much since.
So, wow. And were your folks farmers?
No, they were not. My grandparents were. Three generations of Grangers, my grandparents were the farmers. My parents were not.
And what did being a Granger mean to the members of your family?
It meant a commitment, something to be involved in the community, a place to be able to go and visit with family, and not just family, but family and friends, people that became family because they were Grangers.
Okay, Walter, you have a different story. How did you become involved in the Grange?
Well, prior as a child, the only thing I knew about the Grange was that my uncle was mad at them. He was a dairy farmer, and one of his cows got killed by lightning. And the Grange insurance didn't cover that because they said it was an act of God. And he was not convinced that God had killed his cow. So my first experience was only about 20 years ago. When we came to Maine and met some people from the Grange, the local Grange, who made it sound sort of mysterious and exclusive. It's like they didn't let everybody in, which immediately piqued our interest. But we were looking for an opportunity to be involved in the community and be part of the community, and the Grange afforded us that.
So you moved from an urban area to rural Maine and ended up being very, very, very involved in your Grange.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, both of us grew up in a rural area, but life had taken us to other places. And so it was kind of like coming home again. Home maybe not so much a place as it is a time.
Mm. And I understand the Grange has opened up your life in ways you didn't expect.
That is so true. One of the things I credit the Grange with is helping me discover my true passion. There's a program in the Grange called the Dictionary Project, or Words for Thirds, which basically means Grange is giving dictionaries to third graders in their area. And one of the shortly after I joined, one of the Grangers dropped off about six boxes of 24 dictionaries each and said, take these to school and give them to the kids. I went, dreading it, thinking the kids would be bored out of their minds, and discovered something very different. And that truly was, for me, the beginning of discovering how much I enjoy working with kids.
And what I need to say is that Walter is sitting here with a shirt on that says, Mr. Boomza. There's a embroidered shirt, an embroidered book with a bookworm coming out of it. And now you're a well-liked substitute teacher.
I hope so. not every day, certainly. But part of the bookworm thing is, and it fits in with the dictionaries, is the kids recognize that I'm a lover of books. And they often call me a bookworm. And part of our Grange's mission, and we do an awful lot with the school, partly because of my passion, but we do an awful lot with the school to get the kids sensing community, to realize that there are people in the community that care about the kids. It's not just a matter of school. The kids have less trouble separating my roles. Sometimes I'm there as a bookworm and volunteer. Other times I'm there as their teacher. And they see that difference. And it's kind of cool to have the kids recognize that there are a bunch of people in the community that care about the kids in the school and what happens there.
Let's turn back and just do a little mini historical lesson. I learned that the Grange was founded after the Civil War. And you mentioned Walter Grange Insurance. The Grange served all kinds of purposes for farmers. In some places, Grangers came together to build silos, I understand. In other places, they would have, they would purchase commodities on a bulk basis to save money. But they also were really important in some major legislation in American history. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, Vicki?
Sure. I can go back. There were things called the Granger Laws, the beautiful little white lines that we see on the sides of our roads that guide us to help at nighttime. That started back when a Granger had that idea, and it started in their local community and made its way up to the state and national level, a national push for this to happen as part of legislation in Washington, D.C. So the really cool things about the Grange are that you can actually have an idea that starts at a very local level and can go all the way to Washington and become a national law.
Wow. I also read rural mail delivery.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The cooperative extension
is a shoot-off of the Grange. Yes.
So, you know, even if your family, even if people you know aren't members of the Grange, your life has been affected most likely by the Grange.
In one way or another, yes.
We have some folks that say, I'm glad there was a Grange because that's how my parents met, and I wouldn't be here if there wasn't a Grange, because there was a big social aspect to the Grange as well. It's really a multifaceted organization that kind of wears a lot of different hats.
So I know that, you know, I read that used to be 600 Grange halls in Maine, 50,000 members at its peak. And obviously, that's not the case anymore. What is the difference between a Grange Hall that's still active and one that's not?
I think the biggest difference is that the Grange that is active is doing something in their community and with their community, whatever that may be. And in every community, it's going to be different, because that's one of the cool things about the Grange, is that you can make it to your community, whatever that activity might be. My local Grange gives out scholarships, also does the Dictionary Project, but is not quite involved in the schools as much as Walter's Grange in Valley. And so we do things a little bit differently. There are, it just a lot depends upon the community need, and that's how the Grange has its activities, is based on that.
The two words I always associate with Granges that are really growing and succeeding are passion and leadership. Passion just makes such a difference. There has to be a reason. And at Valley Grange, we sometimes say, if you have a passion, we have a place, because we're always looking for ways to develop rural communities. And there is a purpose beyond just coming to a meeting once a month. I've said, in fact, I say in the book, The Grange isn't a place you go. It's a way of life. And it's a way of life that's about typically about rural America, although we're starting to see some granges in some of the more metropolitan areas because of the commonality and the value systems that are in place.
Joining us on the line now, Amanda Brozana Rio. She is Communications Director for the National Grange. Thanks for calling in, Amanda.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Tell me what's happening with granges nationwide. Are they doing well or not?
Sure. So the Grange nationwide is still strong in many communities. And as you heard from our guests in Maine, two wonderful members that I'm very fortunate to know, you know, the Grange does look different in different communities. Some are very active and some are have kind of stepped back from that role, either because there's other organizations in their community that are doing outreach that previously they may have done, or they're struggling, you know, to find the members who are connecting in that same way that they used to. But today we have about 150,000 members across the country, and we have about 1,700 community granges. So that means, you know, there's some states like Maine that have over 100 community chapters, and then there's some states that have as few as 4, 5, or 6. And we also, you know, are really proud to say that we do have members in every state in the union, even though some of them are not affiliated specifically with a chapter in their community anymore. They've moved but continued their membership and continued their support.
So it sounds as though Maine still is one of the places where granges are more active than others. Is that correct?
It is correct. We have Maine is not the largest state grange per capita. That is actually Washington State, but per capita, as far as Grange members to the population of the state, Maine leads that. So that means if you got a sample of Mainers in a room, more of them are likely to be Grange members than any other state.
How have Granges entered the modern age? How is technology impacting Granges?
And I think that's where it's really interesting, because all of these service organizations, by all accounts of, you know, academics and social historians and things, show that they're graying. I mean, unfortunately, and I'm 36 and I'm on a younger spectrum of the Grange, even though we do have members down to the junior Grange at 5. But we do have a lot of older members, and members in areas where rural broadband is not available, so some of that technology is not really readily available. So Grange itself has embraced a lot of technologies, but just not widely. And we still struggle to have a connection with our members, both maybe in that more physical print form and in the digital form. So we've done things like create online community through our Grange.org website. Obviously, we do social media. We do some Facebook Live ourselves. But we also have to then balance that with the needs of the members who really enjoy our print publication, like our quarterly magazine, Good Day, and things like that. So unfortunately, I think that we haven't embraced it as much as we could, but we definitely appreciate when people like Walter, who run their state websites, are doing such a fantastic job of keeping members abreast of what's going on and informing potential new members.
And at the same time, whenever we have this conversation, I hop into my time machine. And I can imagine a conversation 100 years ago that went something like this. How are we going to let Ethel know about our next Grange meeting? They don't have a phone yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for calling in. That's Amanda Brozana Rio, Communications Director for the National Grange. You know, Amanda mentioned the graying of the graying of the Grange. I bet you all have some fun puns, because Grange rhymes with so many things. Anyway, she mentioned the graying of the Grange, but here in Maine, we have this movement of young farmers. And I'm wondering, has this movement of young farmers come into the Grange? Are they Grangers?
In some specific areas, yes. We've had some very good success in a couple of different areas within our state where the ages are actually much less than the average Grange, and mostly because it's young farmers.
Do you have a Grange story to tell us about that you're really excited about this year or last year?
now.
It's hard because there are a few of Granges that have been very successful. I'll kind of take this one over a little bit. Actually, this is a Grange that is very close to us here in southern Maine. And they actually had some damage done to their hall because of a oil leak that happened. Because they host the local Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, it qualified them for some really great grants that they also had to work with in tangent. Some money they had to come up with themselves, but they came up with over $25,000 to do all of this work to their hall. Their hall has now become a much better hub for their community. They're doing a lot more things, having Granges, having community people come in and events at their building now that their building is in much better shape and is going to go on to last for a long time. So they're one of those great stories where it successfully has worked because they worked with their local town to actually find out about this grant and to be able to get that money and put it to great use.
Vicki, earlier you said something interesting about being a kid and being outside the door and listening and wondering what went on in there. And I'm thinking there are probably a lot of people who are not Grangers who wonder what goes on in there. And there are some sort of rituals and secrets and things. So without giving away what you can't give away, let us know. What happens? What is a Grange meeting feel like, look like?
There's a couple of words that scare people, one of them being ritual. And the thing is when you think about ritual, you get up every morning, you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you get ready for whatever your day is. That's ritual. What happens in the Grange is we have a specific way of having a meeting, of how that order of business goes, of how we open that meeting and close that meeting. That's basically what ritual is. In all honesty, in Grange, there's only one thing that I can't tell you. Everything else that happens in that meeting is open. And we're discussing things that are going on in our communities. We're discussing what's happening at a national level without being partisan politics, which is one of the big features of the Grange, is we decide what's best for everybody, not what is just best for one person or for one political party. So it can be a very heated discussion sometimes, but when we leave that hall, we're still all brothers and sisters.
And Walter, you mentioned that one of the things that was first piqued your interest was the fact that Grange doesn't accept everybody. Who do you have to be to get in?
Crazy? No. somebody who cares about the community. I mean, there aren't really specific requirements as such, but I think part of the appeal for me was not just everybody fits. It's almost like it's like dating. Desperation isn't pretty. You want to attract people that are like-minded. And listening to Vicki's description, one of the things that I think is so great about the Grange, and we claim it, even though it actually goes back thousands of years, our motto, in essentials, unity.
In non-essentials, liberty.
And in all things, charity. So if you can accept that, if you can think that way, welcome to the Grange.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we return your comments and questions, this is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Maine's credit unions, dedicated to making your money go further so you can get ahead faster. Details at mainecreditunions.org. And Maine Masonic Charitable Foundation, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine.
I'm Corey Turner from NPR's Education Desk. You might have heard the reporting that Chris Arnold and I did last year on federal grants for public school teachers who work in lower-income schools. Many of those grants were suddenly converting to loans, saddling teachers with thousands of dollars in debt.
Honestly, I cried at one point because I was like, this isn't right.
We kept on the story for a year. And a few months ago, the Education Department promised to change the program and to erase the debts of many hardworking teachers. Chris and I even got to break the news to one of those teachers. You're going to get your grants back.
That is such good news. Oh, that's such good news.
Dozens of interviews and thousands of pages of government documents. This story required a lot of time and resources. And public radio members, you made it possible.
Our Let's Grow Together membership campaign starts Tuesday, May 7th. But you can contribute right now at mainepublic.org or by calling 1-800-866-1475. The Maine Public News Tell Me More tour is underway, visiting many cities around the state over the next few months. The Tell Me More tour is an effort for Maine Public News to hear directly from you and learn what you feel are the most important issues in your community, and how Maine Public News can best serve you and keep you informed. The next stop is in Bangor, Thursday evening, May 9th, starting at 5:30, at the Bagel Central Meeting House at 33 Central Street, again in Bangor. On hand will be Deputy News Director Susan Sharon and news reporter and Weekend Edition host producer Jennifer Mitchell to talk about stories they're working on. For more information about the Tell Me More tour visits, visit mainepublic.org and click on the banner ad. Hope to see you in Bangor this Thursday evening.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we're talking about Granges in Maine. Joining me, Walter Boomsma, Communications Director of the Maine State Grange and Program Director of Valley Grange in Guilford, and Vicki Huff, Treasurer of the Maine State Grange and Master and President of Hollis Grange. We invite you to join the conversation. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Joining us on the line now, Rick Watson. He is the master and president of Fairview Grange number 342, located in Smithfield. Thanks for calling in, Rick.
Good afternoon.
Tell us about Fairview Grange.
Well, Fairview Grange was ready to close its doors in 2013. The members were older. They tried the things that they knew how to try to keep it going, public suppers and things, and they were just at a point of out of energy and out of money. And there were some of us in the community that thought that was just too bad. There's something called sense of place. Smithfield is a very small community. It's on a lake shore, and many of us that have since joined the Grange grew up on the lake fishing and at the local beach, and the Grange was always there. It's right in the center of town, and so we decided to do something, and we consider ourselves accidental Grangers. We joined because we wanted to see it continue, but we really didn't know anything about it, and since then we've been working to restore the building. We've been fortunate to collaborate with a number of organizations in town that have helped us in one way or another, and we're, I guess, becoming successful over time.
When you say becoming successful, tell me where you are. How many members? What kind of activities do you do?
Well, they were down to about 12 members, and we're in the 40s now. The building, like many, had not been able to be maintained. So we've, in the last 5 years, topped out the chimney, sealed the parking lot, put in two wells. The first one failed and the second one worked. We painted all the way through the hall. We've just cleaned and brightened and freshened everything up throughout the building, I guess. And again, the collaboration with the groups in town. We have a lake association that wanted to have examples of best management practices on the shoreline. We're located on the shoreline, so it gave them a public spot that they could showcase their examples, and they pay us a stipend to use the building throughout the year. And we've been able to do things like that.
Well, Rick, it sounds as though the Grange has been able to really serve as something that brings the community together.
It has. We've done, I look back through some of my notes, we've done three fundraisers, for lack of a better term, for people in need in the last 3 years, and the total that we've raised is about $10,000. We also put the flags on 50 of the telephone poles. When you drive through town in the summer, the flags are flying. And then at Christmas, we had a nurse join, and she worked for the Veterans Hospital, and we
typically put together about 50 goodie bags for the hospice wing of TOGAS each Christmas. So we found what fits for our community, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's Rick Watson. He's Master and President of Fairview Grange in Smithfield. Thank you for calling in, Rick. We're going to go to Mildred, who's calling from Washington, Maine. Hi, Mildred. Go ahead.
Hi, I am Master of the Evening Star Grange in Washington, a very small community, but we are small Grange, but we have wonderful, dedicated members, even though they do have gray hair. we are a fun bunch, and I just wanted to tell you a few of the things that we do here. We are like a landmark in this town. Everybody comes to our suppers, breakfasts. They rent our hall. We are the basis of the town, along with the Masons and the fire department, but we help each other. We do also contribute to the dictionary program for third graders. And as the other gentleman said, what a pleasure it is to go up and meet with these third graders. I, like him, thought, oh, they're going to be bored to death. But they love it. And the teachers say, no, they need to learn that skill of how to look up a word in the dictionary. With computers, you'd think they didn't need that anymore, but they do, and they relish us being there. We do have fundraisers. We contribute to the food pantry, the animal shelter. We participate in the trunk or treat. We provide a supper before the kids go out, trunk or treating. We also sponsor the Easter egg hunt. The lady, Pat Medica, who runs our Easter egg hunt, she does a wonderful job, and the kids have a wonderful, wonderful time. We put on a variety show in October. This year it will be October 18th. We started this almost 7 years ago, and we have all kinds of talent, musical talent, singing and instrumental, and comedy. And if you happen to be in our area, you must stop by because it's a wonderful, wonderful time. Everybody loves it. They go away feeling pretty good. If you're handicapped, because we do have a variety show on the second floor, you may do the chairlift. You can ride up the chairlift. So everybody is welcome.
Mildred, you sound so busy. Thank you so much for calling and letting us know what's going on in Washington, Maine. You know, Mildred's call makes me think, Victoria, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to Mildred. Both women. This is not a fraternal organization, is it?
Well, yes, it is. The cool thing about the Grange, because you have to remember that women were given the right to vote in the Grange before we had the right to vote in this country. You can have an entire slate of officers of women. You cannot have an entire slate of officers of men. There are four offices in the Grange that have to be held by ladies, regardless. So it is a very forefront office and we have both men and women. I mean, our first eight, you know, founders of the order, were seven of those were men, and there was one woman, and she was the one that was very instrumental in saying we needed an equal vote.
But I understand that this has been in the case since the beginning, since the 1800s.
That we have had very many women leaders over the time. But in the state of Maine, for an example, it took us 140 years to have our first woman state master.
Which was you.
Yes. And also, and we just recently have our first woman national master.
Well, Mildred, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to go to Dave, who's calling from Dexter. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Hi, Walter.
Hi, Dave.
I
was hoping you'd call because you have an interesting story there in Dexter.
I do. Okay, well, I don't. Well, years ago, I used to go to I lived in Parkman. There was a Grange Hall in North Dexter, and I used to go to dances there when I was in my 20s and all, and it was local musicians, and it was a lot of fun. And that Grange shut down, and it stood empty for about 20 years. And back in 2001, some friends of mine were looking to find some place for a performing arts center for music and plays and things like that. And the Grange was very helpful to us. We asked if we could use a building. We wound up forming a Grange, some kind of an accidental Granger as well. And we've been having our Grange there since, well, that's what, 18 years now. And what I think is the strengths of Granges in Maine is that the state and national guys encourage the local Granges to have their own missions. And I've seen different Granges adopt different programs that they want to put on. Our particular thing was to try to bring, you know, basically we do our own plays and our own music sometimes, but mostly we try to get really good bands and things that, so folks up here on the edge of the wilderness where Walter and I are, don't have to always drive to Portland or Bangor or Bar Harbor or something to hear good music. So, and you know, we have a lot of fun. It's an old building. It's taken a lot of time working on that. But these Grange halls, they can still be important parts of community. You're hearing that from the other folks who have called in as well. And I do appreciate the fact that, you know, there is a quite a bit of liberty in the individual organizations as to what they can do. So people shouldn't be afraid of the ritual. I have to be honest and say we don't do it all the time. Most of our meetings are like business meetings. We do the ritual thing every once in a while just to keep reminding ourselves of the old ways, which are really good, solid old ways. But I just wanted to encourage folks to look into using their Grange halls and putting as many of them back to life as we can. It breaks my heart to see them shutting down and sitting there empty.
Dave, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story from up in Dexter. We have an email from Catherine. She actually wrote a couple days ago to say that she's writing to offer a link which might be of use to libraries, historical societies, local ranges, and others. She's a professional folk musician learning and sharing vintage songs of the Grange. And so we have put the link to her website on our website and our Facebook page. I don't suppose I'm going to get either one of you all to sing on the air for me and to sing a classic Grange song.
You will not get us to sing, no. But I can say that the Maine State Grange hosted their talent show last weekend in Topsom, and Catherine came and performed. And it was wonderful because she went back to one of our very original songbooks called Grange Memories, and it was produced in 1901. And she took three songs from that book, three songs that I do not ever remember hearing. And she sang those at the variety show. It was wonderful. She's a very talented lady.
We'll go to Philip, who's calling from Mapleton. Hi, Philip. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
It's quite interesting, the Grange. I wanted to mention something that probably a lot of people didn't know or forgot about. But back in the 30s and 40s, margarine was, competing with butter. And the Grange was influential in keeping coloring out of margarine for many years. Up until the 50s, that they started coloring it. But they used to have these little packets that you had to rub. I don't know if you knew that or not.
So the range tried to protect farmers, dairy farmers, by making sure margarine didn't look like it. Butter.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Actually, I don't think they had to worry too much because margarine and butter, I don't know. I still use butter. By God, I still do. Yeah. It was great growing up in the Grange and the dances and everything. And it was really great. And it's sad to see that, most people, as they say, it's graying. And I'm pretty gray myself. I'll be 90 this year.
Wow. And Philip, did you grow up in Mapleton where you live now?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I had to move away in 1950. I went to Massachusetts to work. And then I come back in 1972 and built a little log cabin up here. And my family broke up, and so I live alone. But it's been a great life. I have few regrets. No, And I was interested when you, Coral, I wanted to tell you about that. I don't think a lot of people knew about that or probably even cared, but yeah.
Well, I love that. And thank you so much for calling and being part of Maine Calling today, Philip. That's Philip calling from Mapleton. I have a question from Sandra on Facebook. How many of the Grange Halls still have their theater curtain, and how of those, how many had them conserved? All we have left of our Grange Hall in Lyman, Maine, is our curtain, which we had conserved, and it now hangs in our library.
Oh, we need to talk. Sandy, please visit the Maine State Grange website and get in touch, because I'm trying to remember the name.
Curtains Without Borders.
Yes. There's a woman from Vermont or New Hampshire who has actually visited most of the Grange Halls in Maine that are still open, looking and helping with the restoration of those curtains and the preservation of those curtains. It's some of them are really cool. They have different depictions and advertising, and were very often done by painters who painted covered wagons. They painted on the side of covered wagons.
Many of them were shipped up from New York. Her last name is Hadsel.
You know what? Tell me after the program. We'll put it on our webpage and our Facebook page.
Terrific. Great. Thank you.
And we're going to take another quick break. We're talking about granges and Grange Halls in Maine. You're listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do the World Affairs Council of Maine, engaging and educating people of all ages to become global citizens. Learn more at wacmaine.org. And Maine Community Foundation, where you can create your own charitable fund to benefit Maine. Learn more at mainecf.org.
It can seem like all political news comes from Washington, D.C., but really, a lot of stories start where you live.
Whitney Evans of member station WCVE has the latest.
Eric Newman of our member station KUER in Salt Lake City has an evaluation.
Susie Ahn of member station WBEZ in Chicago has the story.
Member station KJZZ's Laurel Morales reports from Flagstaff.
I'm Scott Detrow, and when local politics becomes national news, I want to hear what this station is saying.
I'm Rachel Bay in Columbia, Maryland.
Frank Morris in Kansas City.
In Fort Wayne, I'm Barb Anguiano.
I'm Farida Javala Romero in San Francisco.
To keep you, your neighbors, and the entire nation informed, public radio reporters are on it, covering City Hall and the State House. This station is where the story starts. Help it go further.
Our Let's Grow Together membership campaign starts Tuesday, May 7th, but you can contribute right now at mainepublic.org or by calling 1-800-866-1475.
What does affordable housing mean in New England?
There is a joke that all the housing in Vermont is affordable if you were someone who was super rich.
On Next, from the New England News Collaborative, we're tackling housing in our region. From home prices to homelessness.
I think one of the biggest myths that we see is people think it's just runaways who don't want to live under their parents' roofs with their parents' rules, and that's just clearly not what we saw.
Please join us.
That's coming up today at 2 here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the evolution of the Grange. Joining me, Vicki Huff. She's with the Maine State Grange and Hollis Grange. And Walter Boomsma is also with the Maine State Grange and Valley Grange. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Heather Rettberg. She's master and president of Halcyon Grange, number 345, located in Blue Hill. Thanks for calling in, Heather.
Hi, Jennifer. You're welcome.
Can you share some of the background of your grange there in Blue Hill?
Sure. Yeah, so our grange was chartered in 1898, so it goes back that far. And I didn't join until 2011. And since then, our grange has really been, and even before then, it was really one of the things that attracted me to Halcyon, is a real commitment to reach out into our farming community and do what they could to support the small farms in our area. And then I started really looking into the history and the principles of the grange and realizing that this was an organization that formed 150 years ago to advocate for small farms, both in physical needs and infrastructure and in policy, but then also really going to bat in the world of advocacy And so this grange in Blue Hill really seemed to be looking back towards the roots of the grange in order to grow into the future. And that was really appealing to a number of us. And then, ever since then, I've just really been working on meeting the needs of the farming community here, seeing what was lacking in infrastructure. We had a big capital campaign a number of years ago to build a community kitchen, understanding that a number of local food producers were really lacking the ability to build their own infrastructure to value add to the goods that they were either producing or growing. So when we had to rebuild our grange kitchen because you sort of walked downhill into it, we decided to make it a shared use community kitchen. We submitted another grant to get some organic grain bins on site so farmers would have access to bulk prices for livestock, for organic grain for livestock. Then we had a cool bot installed, so just a bigger refrigeration unit in case farmers needed storage for vegetables in the shoulder season. So we've also ended up getting involved in advocacy. The Halcyon Grange, when we joined, was a big supporter of our efforts as farmers and eaters in our community to work on local ordinances to protect direct food exchanges. And so after that, we thought, we got to see what this organization needs and what we can do to help it grow too.
It sounds to me, I know that every grange these days and has a different mission, but Heather, it seems as though yours is really still very much focused on agriculture.
On agriculture, and then also this other piece of rural resilience. We've been talking about this in our grange quite a lot lately, and last night we had a meeting, and it kind of came up in conversation that really what we were doing was rural resilience fueled by pie. So we still do, public suppers. We really think that a way not only to support the farming community but to help our entire community have the components it needs to be strong and to be healthy. One of the best ways to do that is to bring people together over public suppers and break bread together, to bring people together over local music and dance or sing together. And then also to, again, go back to this kind of root principle of the Grange about education and having educational programming about seed saving and about climate change and about healthcare and all of these things that really make a big difference in our rural communities. And the idea being when we're coming together, there's a Grange saying, and I haven't heard the whole program, I don't know if somebody said this already, but to hasten the good time coming. And I think one of the best ways we can do that is getting together when the good times are here, and then we know where each other are when we need each other, when the hard times come too.
Well, that's beautifully said. Heather, thank you so much for calling in. That's Heather Rettberg. She is master and president of Halcyon Grange in Blue Hill. Gretchen on Facebook asks, I'm interested in learning more about how granges receive their names. I've heard a number of granges have the word mystic in their name.
To go back, the Grange, when it forms, they actually come up and create their own name. So lots of times they'll use what's local in their town or in their community. We've had many Granges being called Riverside. Mystic coming from possibly the, because a couple of some of our offices come from Greek mythology. And so that possibly could be a tie to it, but each individual Grange actually comes up with their own name.
Mm-hmm. Valley Grange, when it was formed, was in a valley. We're now on a hill.
That's funny. we have Ellen on Facebook says, how can an individual join the Grange?
Quite easily.
Very easily.
The best way to connect it, based on the show, is to visit our website, and we'll help you find a Grange close to you. Because it is a very localized thing. There is a national membership that's available, but I really would like to just quickly go back to Heather's comment about rural resiliency, say that three times fast. I also work with kids a lot, and I also work in mental health and suicide prevention. And certainly the Grange is not a one-time fix to anything, but what lies at the root of many of our social issues and mental health issues is a lack of connection. And one of the things the Grange really provides is connection. I think we kind of heard that in Heather's description of some of the programs they're doing. And it is just it's a healthy mentally and physically, unless you eat too much Grange food and pies, it's a healthy way of life that it's not necessarily about being organic or about being a vegan or something like that, but living in harmony with nature and with each other as opposed to constantly struggling.
But to get back to your question, mainstategrange.org is the best site to go to because then we can put you to your local Grange.
Going to Eric in Southport. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Hi, well, I grew up in a farm family in Livermore Falls, Maine, and I was a regular active member of the New Norland Grange Hall. I had a blast doing that when I was a kid. I learned so much. I had so many of my, earliest influences, especially on music, through the Grange. Not to mention food, too. I also learned how to cook and carried on with a professional cooking career for a long time. But, I just had to see our Grange. I guess it's closed. I don't know. I haven't been there in so many years. I drive by and it appears to be shut down.
I believe New Norland is still active.
Is it still active? Are they still meeting at that hall?
Yes.
They are. Oh, geez. They need some work done to that hall.
Probably. But, yes, they are still active, I believe.
Well, Eric, thanks so much for calling and joining in on the conversation. I'm going to go to Sarah in Facebook. She writes, nothing like a contra dance in a Grange hall. And she's not the only one who said something about dancing in a Grange hall. Beth on Facebook, I grew up not knowing about Granges and love to visit, support them now, whatever the event may be. Most recently, it was the West Minot Grange for pancakes and maple syrup. And I also noticed doing a quick search on the internet, so many things going on in Granges around the state. Just this spring, the Saco Grange had a free clothing giveaway. Another Grange sounds like it has a monthly big supper, not just beans and Franks, but pretty much anything you can imagine.
Yeah. Our Grange, Valley Grange, doesn't do a lot with, although our master loves to say there's no such thing as a skinny Granger. We don't tend to be about
Walter
food.
Slender.
Well, no, we won't
go
there.
On.
Our community events, we have I'm really excited. Vicky's, we hope, coming up to join us Saturday. We there's a program within the Grange called Law Enforcement. It actually has several different titles, but Law Enforcement Officer of the Year. And our local lieutenant in our sheriff's department, Jamie Kane, last year was Valley Grange's Community Citizen of the Year and the Maine State Grange Law Enforcement Officer of the Year. And we just learned a couple weeks ago that he actually went on, he didn't physically go on, but his name went on, and he was named Grange Law Enforcement Officer of the Year for the Northeast region. So we'll have a big party coming up next Saturday, and we'll fill the hall with his family and friends and some of the kids because he teaches DARE. And I think that kind of brings us back to the fact that collaboration and connection are so important within the Grange. It's not a closed hall. It's a place where the community can connect and people from the community can connect and organizations from the community can connect. So there are a lot of exciting things. I think we're sometimes our own worst enemy because we don't really promote the way we could and should.
Well, we're going to end with this Facebook post from Christine. The Parkman Grange provides wonderful service to their surrounding community. A core of loyal members keep it going. They offer benefit suppers, a military appreciation dinner. They're hosting their 19th annual Mother's Day tea this May 11th. They throw Halloween and Christmas parties for area children free of charge, award scholarships to second-year college students. They are in charge of the Santa Project for the area towns. I am always amazed at what they do for their community. So thank you for writing in, Christine. Thank you for both of you coming on our program today. Walter Boomsma, author of Exploring Traditions About the Grange Way of Life and Communications Director of the Maine State Grange, Program Director of Valley Grange in Guilford. Victoria Huff is Treasurer of the Maine State Grange and Master and President of Hollis Grange. Today's show was part of Maine Calling's ongoing coverage of topics that explore rural issues in Maine. Lucy Suchek ran the board. Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn produced the show. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.